Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, found on page 918 of the Pew Bibles. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you.
I really believe that sometimes when we worship, lives are changed, chains break, people are healed, and there's a transformation that happens as we align ourselves with the kingdom of God. And sometimes worship is like warfare, actually. It's like a battle. You declare the victory of God, and as you declare the truth, so it is. So lives are healed and changed. And we were doing some of that just a few moments ago, and I'm going to come back to that and speaking about the resources that we have for walking in the Spirit. Imagine that there was a parcel of land, and it's been inherited, but there is a dispute about who should own that land. So it's a precious piece of land, and there's two people who are distantly related, and they're fighting out over who would own the land. And sometimes one goes and camps on the land, and another time someone goes and builds a little shed on the land and plants some tomatoes, and someone else comes and knocks them down and tries to do their thing on the land. But the reality is that this particular parcel of land, this plot of land, actually has a clear owner because there is a law that applies to it. And the law determines that one of those two is the true lawful owner. And no matter what the other one does, whatever they might do to try and claim ownership of the land, putting a fence there or camping on the site or planting tomatoes, whatever they want to try and do with the land, they can't change the irrevocable fact that it's the other person that's really genuinely inherited the land according to the law. There's a dispute going on about possession, but the land actually, in reality, in law, belongs to one of them, and eventually that will find its way through the courts and that'll be decided, and it'll be clear to everyone who owns the land. Now, our souls are a bit like this piece of land. There is a dispute going on over our souls, and that dispute is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. And Satan claims, or tries to claim, ownership and territorial rights in your life in various ways. Satan uses every kind of excuse or pretext that Satan can find in order to claim ownership and rights over your land. Tries to plant things in your life, tries to build structures in your life, tries to say, look, this is mine, I have put my mark on it. But the reality is that the verdict has already been decided, that if you are in Jesus Christ, if you have given yourself to Jesus Christ, then it is irrevocably decided that you belong to him, that the inheritance of your life belongs to Jesus. And that's what Paul is speaking about at the beginning of his letter to the Romans in chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because you've been set free from the law of sin and death. Whatever claims Satan might make against your life, in an absolute final sense, they are null and void. He says the law, the Jewish law, the law of Moses, was unable to establish this freedom for people who followed it. But Jesus Christ has established and achieved what the law could not do. He has condemned sin. He bore the consequence of sin in his own body on the cross. And he's met all the legal requirements that might be claimed against you. And because of that, there is absolutely no charge against you that can stick. That is, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Satan has absolutely no lawful rights against you in the light of the fact that Christ has died for you on the cross. Or as the book of Revelation says, salvation belongs to our God. It's his right. If you trust in Jesus, believe in him, and choose to follow him, then God has dealt with all the other rights. The problem is, in this life, as we live that life, we nevertheless find ourselves being attacked. We nevertheless find ourselves having claims made against us that are unlawful and wrong and have been discredited in the heavenly courts because of what Christ has done for us, but we feel the pressure of that in this life. And Paul speaks about this pressure in terms of two different ways to live, two different paths, if you like. In the story of Pilgrim's Progress, there's a pilgrim who is on a journey to the heavenly city, and he has to stay on a particular road in order to get there. The problem is there's another road that sometimes looks quite attractive, and sometimes it runs alongside the road that he's on, but ultimately it can only lead to destruction and despair, and he has to stay on the road to the heavenly city, the road to the place of those that God is calling to himself. Well, we also have a choice how to live. If we know that irrevocably our status with God has been established through the cross, that there is no condemnation against us, there's no charge that can be made against us because of what Christ has done for us, we still have the challenge of living that out, of living the life that he's called us to. And Paul describes this as a choice between living according to the flesh, which is a term he uses to describe sort of our unredeemed life, our life without God, or living according to the Spirit, what he calls being in the realm of the Spirit. We've been transferred through Christ from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit, but we still have this choice, this challenge to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And he's often warning people in his letters not to fall back into that other way of living, not to fall back into those other habits of living, those ways of that they are familiar with, but actually are no longer their identity, no longer their call on their life. Now, he says, in fact, that if you're living according to the flesh, it's very enveloping. It overtakes your mind. Your thoughts get transformed by giving in to that way of living. And instead of having peace, which comes from the Spirit, you actually have death in your mind. Your thoughts are consumed or controlled by a principle that leads to death. He says the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. That is, it hates God. There is a force at work in an unredeemed flesh that actually is very intensively opposed to God and refused to submit to God's law, and it cannot do so. It just cannot accept God's law. And those in the flesh, he says, those that are living in that way can't please God because their nature is at war with God's kingdom and God's way. But he says, you, however, that's not where you are. That's not where you've been born into through Christ. You've been baptized into another realm, and that is the realm of the Spirit. And he says that if you believe, if you are truly in Christ, then the Spirit of God is within you, and the Spirit of God brings life into your life, and it teaches you righteousness. It shows you how to walk in the power of God and in the risen authority of Jesus Christ. And he's saying you need to make a choice about this. Now, sometimes we get distracted from the reality of this choice and the freedom that we have to live in the Spirit, and we get tied down into the things of the past. We kind of find ourselves reverting. We see the flesh rising up against us and claiming a seemingly ever larger part of our personality and our life. And Paul is warning that you need to be aware of that. You need to be conscious that you have this dramatic choice and that all the choices that you face in life can be coloured or affected by the reality of making a choice between the flesh or the spirit. You can't just lapse back into the flesh thinking that it's, you know, that it's an easy thing to end up in that place, because there's disaster and there's death in that direction. How is it that we can get trapped in the flesh? Well, one way is through what we could call ungodly beliefs. We believe things that are not true, and they become a snare to us. They become like a trap that holds us in the way of the flesh. One such ungodly belief is a denial of the salvation that's been won for us in Christ. That is a belief that we have to somehow earn our own salvation. We have to get there in order to be acceptable to God. And it's amazing how persistent this can be in us sometimes. We feel that we're not good enough. We have to be better in order to be acceptable to God. We feel there's something fundamentally wrong with us sometimes. Sometimes people feel they could never actually please God, that there's something fundamentally flawed with them. Now, this is, if you're in Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust in Him, this is a lie. It's a lie that you're not good enough in that sense. Of course, in a way, we are all, none of us good enough, but we are good enough in Christ. That is, He has carried our sins upon Himself. He's taken the curse of our fallen nature upon Himself. He's paid the just penalty for that. And actually, we are therefore acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And that lie that might affect us, that we're not good enough, is actually the flesh calling to us. It's trying to impose a false view of ourselves upon us. So Paul is actually very keen for us to know what our true identity is. If you know that you are in Christ, if you know that Christ has died for you, that His blood speaks a truer word, that Jesus has won a victory that cannot be set aside, if you know that, then you can begin to live accordingly. I was once in an alpha group, and it was a really enjoyable alpha group, and there was a couple there. They were clearly coming to faith in Christ, and we reached a certain point after 3 or 4 weeks, and they were saying, you know, one of the guys was saying, I think I'd like to become a Christian, but he said, I'm just not ready. I said, what do you mean you're not ready? He said, well, my life's not in order. There's so many things wrong with my life. You know, I'm just not like these Christians. I've got so many things that are wrong. I have to get myself ordered first. I have to get sorted first. But he said, it's hard. It's hard to be right. And I'm just not ready. I can't become a Christian because there's so much wrong with me. And he was actually quite worried that he might not be able to be ready. He might not get his life in order enough. And he was actually living according to the flesh. And he didn't know that the flesh cannot please God. He couldn't actually get his life in order in the way that he wanted. And actually, when you come to Jesus, you don't come saying, here I am, I'm a card-carrying, excellent person, I've got everything in order. You say, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, Lord. Please forgive me. You know, you come in brokenness because you know that it's what He's done that's enough for us. It's what Christ has done for us that means we can come to Him. We can be bold to come to Him. Anyway, we explained to this man about the fact that, when we're sinners, Christ died for us, and we don't come getting our stuff in order. We come so that God would work in us by His Spirit and change our life. And there's such a relief that came upon him as he set aside this ungodly belief that had been telling him that he had to, as it were, save himself before God could save him. Sometimes we struggle with self-judgment. We choose to reject ourselves. And this is actually, at its root, a very arrogant thing. I mean, I don't mean to offend or hurt anyone who's struggled with self-judgment or self-rejection. But really, if Christ has accepted you, if He has said, my blood is enough for you, and you stand back and say, no, I am no good. I have a judgment over my life that's superior to the judgment of Jesus Christ. I know that I'm not good enough. And you have Christ saying, no, my blood is enough. And you say, no, my sins are too great. You're actually putting yourself above Jesus. You're saying, no, my word, my authority is greater than His. And that's not really a good look. It's not a good place to be. So you want to set that aside as well, this kind of desire to pass judgment on yourself, to condemn, for example. You actually need to hand that over to the Lord. That's not your job to determine whether you're good enough. None of us is good enough. It's actually the fact that Christ has died for us that gives us the freedom to come for Him. We need to really grasp that the case against us has been irrevocably decided through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that gives us the freedom to live according to the Spirit, to choose His way. Now, some of the keys in order to live this life in the Spirit that Paul is speaking about, an increasingly transformed life that's more and more in step with the ways of the kingdom of God and less in step with the ways of the flesh. One is a decision to die to self, a decision not to put yourself on the altar of your life. That is the dominant culture around us, to worship yourself. I did it my way. You know, that's the great prideful cry of our culture and our civilization. I did it my way. I realized myself. But you know, the choice to be free in Jesus Christ is a choice first to die to self. It actually means putting pride to death. It's putting your rights to judge yourself or others to death. It's setting aside your rights to take offense. It's setting aside those things that you claim for yourself and to say, no, I choose to die to myself. I want to put myself to death each day, as Jesus said. Take up your cross daily, Jesus said, and follow me. The second thing that you need, after, as well as an absolutely irrevocable determination to die, is to have faith in the completion of Christ's work for you, that He has done enough for you, that your burden of sin you carry is not so great that Christ can't deal with it, that you are not a person of shame in Jesus Christ, that Christ died to take that shame away. You don't have to carry that anymore. Sometimes we carry our shame, we hold on to it. But we need to know that Christ is enough. His blood is enough. His death is enough for that. You don't have to carry that anymore. The words that have been spoken against you don't have power anymore because of what Christ has done for you. And you can own that in the depth of your being. You affirm that. That's one of the functions of worship, is to declare the truth in a powerful way, in a way that goes deep into our souls. It helps us know who we are. So there's the decision to die to self. And there's a decision to believe that Christ's work is enough for us. And then there's a daily choice to walk in the Spirit. It's to lean into the Spirit. It's to set sail in the Spirit. Not to be kind of paddling in your own power, but to ask the Lord to just fill your sails with His Holy Spirit. In practice, if you're struggling with a persistent sin in your life, and or an inclination or a way of thinking that's damaging to you, it actually means leaning on Jesus. It means in the midst of that, feeling the power of His grace and reaching out for that. Sometimes it might happen to you, it happened to me this week, someone said something to me and I found it quite hurtful. And I would say my flesh, Mark's old flesh, my way of dealing with hurtful things is to go over them again and again and again and again in my mind. They said this, I said this, they said this. How dare they say that? You know, and you just feel so hurt and you just kind of, you spiral into this. How did they, why, well, this is too painful, you know. And I'm in the middle of this and I'm thinking, oh, I've been here before. I should know the way. And I thought, no, you know, I have no right to take offense. And Jesus has dealt with that for me. I'm not a person of offense. That's not my identity. Holy Spirit, help me. I just release this. This is not who I am. I refuse to live this way. I choose to reach out for Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and be with me now. I choose to worship. I choose to place myself in a position of worship and not of self-absorption or kind of going over and over my pain. There's a kind of an opportunity to say, help me, Lord, you know, Spirit of the Lord, come and show me the truth. Show me the truth about myself in this situation. I want to walk by the Spirit. And you need to actually believe that that's what God has called you to. That is your identity. You have a right to respond in those crisis moments in this way. This is the realm that you've been transferred into. You actually belong by your identity in Christ much, much more in the realm of the Spirit than the realm of the flesh, because the realm of the flesh has been put to death on the cross. And all the claims that seem to come up against you, they are kind of lying claims. It doesn't mean that there isn't some leverage that Satan's using against you, but he's really trying to deceive you and pull you back into a place that's not your identity. And there needs to be this internal decision to live the life that God has called you to. an absolutely determined choice. It's very tragic when you see a Christian brother or sister who, although they should know the truth, they actually, as it were, choose to live in the flesh. They actually will walk into that as if they had no choice, but they actually did have a choice. And they had a choice to say, I want to go in the way of the Spirit. They have a choice to die to themselves. They have a choice to believe that Christ has done enough. They have a choice to walk in the Holy Spirit. And praise God, you know, you've got the body of Christ around you. You've got lots of brothers and sisters to cheer you on and support you in this. Don't try and have it both ways. A little bit of flesh, a little bit of spirit, kind of mix it all up. It doesn't work. You can't, you know, spread your bets around. You've got to choose which kingdom you're in and who you're following. And that's the way of grace. It's the way of growth, the way of transformation. It's really been on my heart through this series, Dying to Live, to encourage us as a community to be willing to die to self and live for Christ, to actually be confronted with the seriousness of that call, the power of that call, and to claim the identity that God has called you to in Jesus Christ. And we just want to do everything we can, the ministry team and the staff and leaders in the church, to help each other live that life and claim that life and to realize it for themselves. I'm not saying you won't sometimes have troubles, you won't sometimes struggle with sin, we all do, but nevertheless, it's a decision to say, this is my identity, this is my way. It's the way of Jesus, it's the way of the Spirit. I believe that Christ's work is enough. I believe that He has come to set me free, and I choose to be a person of freedom, not a person of death. And I also choose not to kid myself into living a confused life where I have it both ways. It just doesn't work. It just, death just leads to death. It doesn't lead to life. But praise God, we are those who have the Spirit if we belong to Christ. And then even though our body, as Paul says, is subject to death and we see it riddled with difficulties, the fact is the Spirit is giving life to our souls through the righteousness of God. And this is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. He gives life to us by His power. I'd love to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank You for the amazing grace that we have in Jesus Christ, that You have achieved and established our salvation through Christ's death on the cross, that there is no charge that can be brought against us because of what Christ has done for us, that His blood speaks a truer word than all the curses and all those burdensome things that have been tagging on and trying to pull us down. And Lord, we choose to be people of the Spirit, people who walk in step with the Spirit of God, to say no to the way of the flesh, the way that's at war with God, and to say yes to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for a powerful release of the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of discipleship, of humility, of kindness, of grace, of love, of truth that cuts right to the heart of our identity. Lord, I pray that You would cause this army to rise up, the army of the Lord, rise up in righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.